Let's talk about the psychology of pricing to supersize and grow your business. Sharon Hornell from here. One of the topics I find fascinating, I always find psychology fascinating, especially when I use myself as my own science experiment. And I'm like, well, why did I do that? Why did I think that? Why did I behave that way? Why did I buy that thing? Why did the price of this in this situation bother me, but it didn't impact my decision at all in another situation? And there's really six areas that this comes into play that I've been kind of studying and playing with lately. And they're the power of perception, anchoring and the decoy effect, emotional triggers, and price sensitivity, huge one. The influence of social proof, dynamic pricing, and behavioral economics, which is a new area of study and learning for me, as well as the role of transparency and fairness. Now, I could get into a whole thing about fair. My dad taught my sisters and I when we were young that life isn't fair. So if you're expecting everything to be fair and equal, you will perpetually be disappointed. But let's dig into these a little bit further and think about how that can impact our ability to be more profitable and price in a way that feels best to the people that we're here to serve. Perception is reality. Value is, business is all about an exchange of value. And so how do we share what it is that we have to offer and present the value in a way that our potential clients and customers will appreciate? We do that often in consumers' minds. A higher price is associated with better quality. Now, each and every one of us has probably experienced firsthand that just because I paid a lot of money for this, it broke the first time I tried to use it. That maybe wasn't the best choice or the best option, just because, and I think we each learned that lesson on our own, just because it's expensive doesn't mean it's better or superior quality. I guess as decades as a quality engineer, that definitely got smished into my subconscious and my conscious as well. But there's something called price quality heuristic. And that is that human beings do that. They think, hey, if it's more expensive, it must be better. If I have to pay $50,000 for this mastermind, it must be better than the $10,000 mastermind. Definitely not actually accurate or true. But there's an appeal to consumers' prestige and other emotional things, which we'll talk about in a minute, that is often associated with a higher price item. It's why high ticket items are actually easier to sell than low ticket items or repetitive items. I learned that in manufacturing by bundling and packaging things up. The second thing to think about is anchoring and the decoy effect. Anchoring is when we compare the thing that we're selling to something really, really expensive. Now, for an example of this is the coaching or any high ticket offer will often compare itself to a college degree. Hey, you don't need a college degree because you can get my coaching program or my system to create this business. Therefore, by comparing it to a college degree, which is, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, usually hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, my $10,000 or my $25,000 high ticket offer seems minute compared to that. And then decoy effect is when you offer a third alternative that you really don't, it isn't as desirable for people. And so you really don't want them to take that and they don't really want to take that. So that steers them to the option that you really want them to buy, usually because it's most profitable for your organization, your company. Software companies do this a lot. Different service providers do this a lot as well. They'll offer you different options and different packages, and the one looks really, really good, the one they really want you to buy, and compared to the other ones, usually the free one, the often in software, it's a free version, then there's the version they really want you to get, then there's the annual pay, then there's the, hey, this is a super deluxe version, you get all these, and it seems like it's only a little bit more money to get the super deluxe one, so people end up buying that one. The third thing is emotional triggers and price sensitivity. Now, I don't know when I realized this, I'm sure I was much, much younger, but older than probably most people, that every human being on the planet buys for emotional reasons and then justifies their purchase with all kinds of things that they make up, usually features and benefits of a product that they tap into after they've already made the emotional decision to buy. And I was probably into my seventh or eighth coaching program throughout my different careers when I was like, oh my God, it doesn't matter how much it costs. If it's something that I want, I'm going to find a way to make it happen. And this applies to everything. And I started to look at my other buying decisions and other choices. And I'm like, guess what? If I want something, I'm going to find a way to make it happen. Doesn't matter what it costs. And I think that that's true of all of us. We have this sense of fear of missing out. That's why limited time offers work so well. Hey, this is only offered for this, you know, limited amount of time. It's closing on Sunday night. Oh, and then all of a sudden you find out they offer it for 5 more days. And oh, by the way, they really offer it every month or every other month. You just have to get into their new customer buying cycle and seeing their offers in order to find out that they're really just repeating it over and over and over again, which will lead into our role of transparency and fairness down the line. But emotional triggers, luxury items, people buy luxury items because of prestige and status. And if you know how to push the right buttons and emotionally trigger those emotions in people, it reduces price resistance. If you convince me that I've got to have a Mercedes or I've got to have a Lamborghini or I've got to have a Rolex watch or whatever other brand is important to you, you will have less price resistance if they're tapping into your emotional reasons for wanting the prestige of having those brands or having that product or service. Next is the influence of social proof. Most of us are social beings. Human beings are social beings. And so we look to find other people that have successfully used a product or service or have bought a product or service or have been happy with it. It's why online review sites are so powerful. It's why any kind of review site is so powerful. It's why testimonies help us to sell without having to actually sell at all, especially when we're selling high ticket items that help us to really grow and build and supersize our businesses. Reviews, testimonials, endorsements by famous people that maybe have nothing to do with your product or service and often are paid and have never even used your product or service, carries a lot of weight with certain people and certain customers. And so if their favorite actor or their favorite athlete or their favorite politician or their favorite anything says that they like or use your product, think Oprah Winfrey, man. If she just says a product and it takes off and becomes an overnight success. Social proof is huge. We go to those review sites. We make decisions based on people we've never met, opinion about products and services over those people we love and care about and actually trust sometimes, about where to eat, what to see, what movies to watch, what health clubs to join, what services to use, just about anything. People will shop online and look for reviews and feedback and experience of other people before they buy your product or service. Last couple of things I want to talk about are how we as business owners decide, and all these are how we decide to price our products and services, but dynamic pricing and behavioral economics are two areas that are new to me. Me personally, in businesses and in pricing, they're very high tech, very analytical, heavily looking at real-time data analysis and algorithms of people's behavior and preferences and buying behaviors and things. And so some companies will adjust their prices based on a lot of data and a lot of information. Think stocks, bonds, probably Bitcoin, although I don't know anything about that industry. I know I admitted it. And financial markets, things like that, commodities, all of those use all this data and all this technical stuff to help determine what the price of something's going to be at any given moment. So it's an area I'm a little fascinated by, but I'm not sure how deeply I personally want to dive into it. Most of the companies and most of the businesses I own and work in and help are not dealing in those markets. And so it's something I just haven't had much experience in. And finally, this is one of my biggest challenges with the whole pricing thing and determining pricing. And it bothered me all the way back into college. But when I started my own manufacturing business, my sister and I started an Italian food manufacturing business in the 1980s. And I discovered that depending on who you were and what kind of a customer you were, different companies charge different prices for their products and services. And I'm talking about food vendors and service vendors for my manufacturing business. And that drove me absolutely nuts because they gave better price breaks to the bigger companies and the bigger manufacturers because they bought more than us little guys who were just trying to start out and grow and build our businesses. And I always felt like it always bothered me from an ethics and what's right and not fair, but kind of fair standpoint. And so we priced our products always. Everybody paid the same amount for our products. It didn't matter if you bought, you know, 1,000 cases or if you bought 2 cases. The price of the case was the same for every customer across the board. And all of our customers and all the people that did business with us knew that, liked that, respected that, and felt like they were getting a square deal. They knew they weren't getting charged a different price because they bought 10 cases than 4. Now, of course, we interacted with vendors and over the years with liquor stores and liquor vendors. I guess that's where I really got it. I managed a retail wholesale liquor business and while I was going to college, and the prices were different all the time, which I think made different types of businesses really complicated to run and to operate. But different industries do things differently. And that was one of the things that I learned. I respect when people pay the same thing for everything. Here's another one. I think about my internet service providers and Netflix and some things like that. They offer introductory prices and then they blast the price up. So even if you've been with them for 10 years, you're never going to get a good price again, even though they're charging that to all the new people. To me, that feels like they don't value the lifetime value of a customer, which is just the opposite of how I set up my businesses and the businesses that I work with. We want to encourage lifelong customers. And the more of those we have, the more raving fans we have, the more social proof we have, the more we can actually charge prices that help us to grow and build and supersize our business. So I'd love to know your experience with pricing and the psychology of pricing. Something I don't really think about much, but I think I need to think about more of. That's it. Have an awesome day. If I can help you anyway, ask. Otherwise, I will be with you tomorrow. Have a great day.